Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing well. As always, thank you to all of our wonderful patrons over at Patreon. If you would like to join, patreon.com/RomaPress, and then the video version on YouTube at IS Roma Press, where you can also find all of our social media accounts as well. Again, at IS Roma Press. And again, thank you to everyone who has subscribed, who has liked, all of that fun stuff on social media. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. So as I'm sure you could tell by the thumbnail today, we wanted to, with the international break still ongoing, we wanted to at least take a preliminary dive of Roma-Milan in the Europa League in exactly what, 2 weeks, three, yeah, 2 to 3 weeks from today. It is first leg in Milano, second leg obviously at the Olimpico. Before we get into all of that though, just a couple of other minor tidbits I guess we can talk about prior to getting into the match. It's the international break. It's Roma. Injuries are always going to happen. Andy, it seems like, though, for some weird, strange reason, the footballing gods, you and I are recording this on Thursday evening. Over the last, like, less than 48 hours, it seems like everybody at once, the deities decided to strike everybody at once of Roma. What's the full list? I have been having a difficult time keeping up. So we have Azmoun. He became the latest.
Yeah? Azmoun, the latest, and I think it's the most serious one because it's even on video. You can see there is clearly a muscle strain. It's a clearly
and he immediately feels it too. You can always tell the most by the reaction.
He goes down, and I expect that to be the most serious case and also the most serious absence for Roma, because given what they have going on, yes, the number of fronts that they're competing, and especially Romelu Lukaku not being 100% fit, as we saw even in the recent weeks with him sitting out the Brighton match and then going on international duty with Belgium, yes, but them choosing to rest him because that's what Belgium have done so far. They have kept him with the team because they're playing friendlies, so these are not important games, although his presence is important to the locker room. But Serdar Azmoun is the latest addition to this long injury list, which includes also Paulo Dybala, who is supposed to be out for around 10 days, so hopefully back by the match against Lecce. Tommaso Baldanzi earlier today quit Italy's under-21 squad because he felt also some muscle pain. Eduardo Bove, but that is less serious because that was simply a knock in training, and I think it was just to not run any further risk. So Eduardo Bove is also back at Trigoria. Rasmus Christensen still out. So we have a complete list of players that I think, you know, there is no big drama. For me, just the fact that somebody like Serdar Azmoun could be out potentially, say, you know, who knows if it's something that will last him for 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, maybe a month. But it's that kind of absence can hurt you, because we all know that when you're competing at multiple fronts at once, the players that you need most are not even your star players. The players that you need most are the ones that allow your star players to get some rest, which in turn prevents them from getting any further injuries. Serdar Azmoun has been vitally important to Roma despite not playing that much and despite not scoring that much. And yet, if I look at the reactions that we got in our patron group chat when he got injured, it almost feels like we've lost a starter. He's not a starter, but his contribution, I think, is just felt to an extent that in recent weeks and months, he has done enough to, whether it was replacing Romelu Lukaku or whether it was playing alongside Lukaku and replacing somebody like El Shaarawy or Dybala, those are the players that make the difference at this time of year. And that's why when you have these international breaks, I don't know who came up with this idea of having an international break right now. We know that international breaks, especially this one, benefited the team greatly because I forgot to add Evan Dika also out.
Yes.
and not on international duty. So, okay, that is good because we can have some rest for these players, players like Brian Cristante, who was not called up by Luciano Spalletti because of back pain. But at the same time, there are guys like us who are important to their national team, who have to play some competitive matches, and so therefore they need to feature in those games, and therefore the risk is more elevated for them and for Roma in turn, because once again, they may find themselves, say, in April or May, competing at different fronts at once, and yet they have to, time and time again, have Romelu Lukaku out there sweating bullets. You know, Lukaku, who, like Daniele De Rossi said, is dealing with a chronic calf injury.
Yeah, the hip. Yes.
So it's not good. It's not good. The situation could be better, obviously. And this Azmoun thing sort of takes away from the magic that we also witnessed today, which could be an interesting segue, because today Tammy Abraham, for the first time in 9 months,
trains.
Completes partially a group training with the rest of the team.
Well, his return, obviously, the timing, it couldn't be more opportune. I thought for sure, and we didn't even mention this, because Gianluca Mancini initially does not get called up by Luciano Spalletti. And then for reasons, what are we even supposed to say about it? I will just say the least surprising character of the group, if you were to pick one who would be tossed out of the Azzurri squad for some racist remarks.
I was tossed, man. If you listen to what Luciano Spalletti Luciano Spalletti greatly disappointed me today. He basically made it sound like speech in his introductory press conference. He had a big speech because somebody asked him about how serious it is for the players nowadays spending so much time playing video games when they're on international duty, because obviously there have been cases of Moise Kean, Nicolò Zaniolo, all these guys,
yes,
you know, being late for training because they played for it. And Luciano Spalletti went on this extensive rant about the PlayStation and how the impact of the PlayStation can have on modern day players. And then when they ask him about this stuff with Acerbi, he's like, no, but he's a good guy, just like Juan.
Right.
Come on, man.
The parents from the 90s, they thought the Marilyn Manson was going to cause everybody to shoot up their schools or something. It's like,
yeah,
okay.
GTA, like GTA, you know, San Andreas.
Right. Everybody's going to be stealing cars and punching out prostitutes. Come on. He is a quirky guy to begin with. Not as if I need to say that. Everybody already knows that. I was most disappointed because his reaction, it almost seemed as if you listen to the way he is replying on that, it almost feels like he was forced to do it and he wasn't recognizing the seriousness of the situation and telling the guy, okay, hey, listen, obviously you can't do this. You can't be in the team until you make things right. You make an apology. You do whatever you have to do to redeem yourself. The guy made it seem as if, well, you know, this is the situation. And he almost made it seem like it was a problem of bureaucracy, or like the higher-ups at the Fijishi were the ones who made him do it. And that is the thing that just drives me mad, because even in that sort of approach to it, to sort of just dismiss it and to treat it so cavalier.
Well, that's why these things get so dragged out in Italy and they lose all their momentum. Yes. Like in a situation like this, Acerbi should be banned and should be kicked out or at least suspended until the end of the season, the bare minimum. The punishment should have been swift, and yet it's losing all of its momentum. And we got exactly somebody like Luciano Spalletti, who otherwise is a man I respect very much. And today, just sort of, I don't know what came over him. Perhaps he expresses a sentiment that is more popular in Italian football and is the cause for how racism and racist episodes are treated in Italian football. But going back to your point, Exactly. We have Gianluca Mancini, a player who I think was in need of rest and who, along Frank Cristante, was in desperate need to avoid risking himself any further. And yet here we are. And I do have a feeling that if there is a player that is going to have to play, I don't know, against Venezuela and New Jersey or wherever the hell they're playing, it's going to be Gianluca Mancini.
Yeah, I thought he and Cristante were the two, in my opinion, that above all needed the most rest. Another thing I wanted to talk about were these comments made by Huijsen. Now, I didn't even find them to be that big of a deal.
They're not. I don't think there are.
When you read the full interview, now this is something that I won't even blame the Italian media for doing this, because it happens everywhere, where instead of providing an entirety and the full context of a quotation, we get one sentence out of 10, and that one sentence can condemn you. You know, it is that it doesn't matter what the rest of you said before or after. When people see that one sentence, that's all that matters. So, well, in this case, there was one guilty party who only put out one sentence, but I don't want to name him. People know who it is. But he only provided the sentence where Huijsen says, yes, I'm going to go back to Juventus. And everybody here, some of the patrons, when they initially saw that, they were saying, well, oh my gosh, you know, what are we, a stepping stone?
Yeah, the reaction.
You know, are Roma this low? They are the step onto the next one. First off, if that was the thing that made you think Roma were a stepping stone, that is the first question that gets asked to every single transfer arrival above 2 million who is under the age of 25. Is this Roma a destination or a stepping stone to make the leap of quality? I mean, my goodness, I have heard it for what seems to be 2 decades now. If this is the thing that made you upset, that Roma is viewed as a stepping stone, I can find you about 24 press conferences that would make your blood boil otherwise. We can get to that at another time. But Huijsen, when you read the full context of the interview, like every player should do, and as he did correctly and justly, he hedged his words. He didn't commit to one or the other. He said, well, at the end of the season, I'm going to go back. Roma, they do not have a buy option. That's a fact. I don't know why that would make anybody upset.
He said, you know, you never know, in the future anything can happen.
Exactly.
I am a Juventus player. I will go back to Juventus and make myself available to them because they are the club that discovered me. But at the end of the day, obviously, it all comes down to so many variables, because Huijsen couldn't go and perhaps earn himself an incredible market value, and then some Premier League club comes in and Juventus give him up. Or maybe they don't, and they decide to loan him out again to Roma and perhaps bet on him next season or the season afterwards. And so I think with these things, we always have to tread carefully, because these are players. Yes. I mean, somebody like Huijsen, 18 years old, clearly with huge potential, clearly being already eyed by a number of top clubs, much bigger than Roma, much bigger than Juventus. And someday, if he continues the way he plays now with this kind of confidence and expanding his range of skills, which I think is limitless, he will end up in some very, 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 very big club in the next 2 to 3 years. With Roma, this is...
Don't say that to some people. They're going to take offense to it, because definition, that would mean Roma is a stepping stone. But I hate to... I know I say sometimes our self-esteem is too low, but we can't have such a high self-esteem to think that... I mean, come on, let's...
No, definitely. And it's normal. It's happened in the past. God knows. I mean, we all remember you know, so... It happens. It's when you have a prodigy, and I do really think that Huijsen can turn out to be that kind of guy.
Yes.
Also, these questions are always exactly meant to find and get that answer. That answer of, well, I...
Every time, yes.
I go to Juve because they are the club that believed in me. Obviously, I will not sit right with a Roma fan because Juve believed in him, yes, but up to a point. Juve were not going to give him any minutes with Massimiliano Allegri on the bench. It was just not going to happen. And I think part of why his future remains uncertain is because Juve still do not know if they will continue with Massimiliano Allegri since he still has one more year left on his contract as manager, or whether they will go in a different direction and hence need someone younger like Huijsen to also become part of their future. With Roma,
well, exactly.
With Roma, Huijsen was nothing planned. I mean, Huijsen was not planned. Huijsen was an improvised deal that was a great opportunity for Roma, a great opportunity by Thiago Pinto, who thought, I think the reasoning was very simple. It was, do we want to go for somebody like Soyuncu and you know exactly what you're getting, or do you want to go for something exciting like Dean Huijsen and see if that can also work out? And Huijsen has proven that he's not dependent on one manager because Mourinho comes in. Mourinho is the guy who sort of draws him to Roma instead of Frosinone. And two, three games later, he has Daniele De Rossi on the bench instead, and he still performs just as well, if not better, with De Rossi on the bench. So for Huijsen, and it's as a lot of times it happens at Roma and in Italian football, much ado about nothing. You know, it's just molto rumore per nulla. There is a lot of this talk, a lot of speculation, especially in an international break. What else are you going to talk about? Not the transfer market, because Dean Huijsen is already being linked with Arsenal, Manchester United, Newcastle United, Borussia Dortmund. So it's normal. And this is an 18-year-old who has played, 10 games in Serie A? Yeah. And he scored 2 goals. And he's shown signs that there's still so much to uncover, that there is still so much for him to address in his game, that he still is so versatile, has so many things to offer as a player. We don't even know if he is truly a center back. So that's all up for debate. Those are things that you have to deal with. If you're a club like Roma and you're desperate, and Roma in January, when they signed Huijsen, it was out of pure desperation.
Well, I do in my mind laugh a bit as well, because I can vividly recall, even during that operation when it was first announced that they were going to get him on dry loan, how offended some, not even just the Patriots, but how some of many supporters of Roma took it, as far as, well, what are we, a club to harvest and have this guy grow? It's like, well, yeah. When you're as desperate, as you just said, as Roma was,
people don't really. I think this recent high has sort of canceled out the feeling that we had in January. First week of January, how freaking desperate were we? In need of everything and anything, not even on the pitch, but off the pitch as well. We needed some security, some sense of safety. And here we have an 18-year-old kid from Juve's under 23 squad
who had, what, just weeks prior,
made 12 minutes of Serie A. 12 minutes of Serie A.
Right. It is just interesting to see. Listen, he is a young player. He is asked a question that, as you correctly pointed out, is meant to do one thing and one thing only. It is meant to grab a headline, just as the absolute imbeciles who ask the question to begin every single unveiling of a player: do you view Roma as a destination or as the place to take the next step in the leap in quality? It's meant to do one thing. They are not genuinely curious to ask that. And by the way, no player, when you just arrive at a club, is thinking already of to leave. Just please stop with this. He gave the absolute correct answer, because if he says, I want to stay, well, if Roma can't come up with an agreement with Juve, what is he going to do? Go back there and be viewed as, you know, the cast out? Of course not. And if he says, no, I don't want to stay, well, then he's going to be a cast aside for the remainder of the season. So come on, let's I was shocked at how many people were actually in our Patreon group chat, because I did not think twice of it. I didn't even think about it more than a minute.
It's like that. I mean, people have to consider into these interviews. There goes so much PR stuff. I mean, you have his agent who's like, okay, now if they ask you about this, you're going to have to say this, this, and this. You have to state facts. So you state a fact. And if you read that answer of his, it's fact after fact. Roma have no buy option. That's a fact. The future, you can never tell what's going to happen. That's another fact. And then I will go back to Juventus and make myself available to them, because they're the first club to believe in me, which is another fact, because that's what he has to do contractually. It's like Andrea Belotti. He is at Fiorentina, but there is no buy option, so he can love life in Florence. But once the season comes to an end, Andrea Belotti is coming back to Trigoria. Whether he trains with the team, that's another discussion point. But his future, then his near future, is still at Roma, just like Huizen's is at Juve.
Correct. It is what it is. I wouldn't put too much stock into it again. Anything that's said publicly anyway, we should always put very little stock into. I can't believe we spent that much time on it. Roma-Milan. Let's go to that. It's just a couple of weeks away, the first leg at San Siro, and then again the return leg at the Olimpico. I don't know currently how I feel about this, because I watched this Milan, and from week to week, very much so, like Fiorentina, I've described them this way, and even Roma at times are this way. You truly do not know what sort of team you are going to get. I mean, if you look at some of their defeats this season, Andy, they are about as bad as you can get. I don't know how many of you watched them against Monza. It was, I was lost for words when I was watching that. I couldn't believe how ineffective, how nearly everything they attempted to do just did not come off. And even in some of the victories that they have, they are just barely. And by the way, I do think that this could be said, because I do, in a way, even when you play like crap, which, listen, Stefano Pioli, nobody is ever going to mistake the way he views football.
I wanted to touch upon that. I think this is a clear case of a team that is playing despite the coach. Stefano Pioli's time has come to an end. You and I can finally sit here and wave the flag of victory, because you and I have been the great advocates of Stefano Pioli being a shit coach. Because he is a shit coach. He will continue to be a shit coach no matter if he won the Scudetto with Milan or not. He is the reason why this team right now is not playing for another Scudetto against Inter. He's holding them back. All the victories that they've registered in recent weeks are all thanks to individuals. Christian Pulisic having a great time. Olivier Giroud, a leader, an absolute unit of a player for Milan. All of these guys have been performing. Teo Hernandez, they've been performing despite Stefano Pioli. I mean, Teo Hernandez have been playing as a center back for the majority of the season, because Stefano Pioli and his staff have been murdering players in their sleep, injuring them in their sleep. Stefano Pioli's time at Milan has come to an end, but that's what makes this Milan team all the more dangerous in my eyes, is they're unpredictable. You don't know what you're going to get from them as a team. As team play right now, they've been playing really poorly. Against Slavia Praha, they were not good. They were not good. Same with Stade Rennais. They were not good. They won thanks to individual quality. But that's what I'm afraid with Roma. When it comes to reading a team like Milan, you cannot expect them to have patterns. You cannot expect them to have a coherent style of play that you can study. Because right now, Milan are running on fumes, relying solely on individual quality. And that, to me, is perhaps something that we haven't yet touched upon with De Rossi at Roma. De Rossi at Roma always has so far faced teams that had a clear identity, whether they were poor or not poor, whether they were good, well-trained or not. I mean, like a team like Monza. You can study them because Palladino has found a way to have them play. You can question the individual quality. You can question what happens on the pitch and how Paladino's instructions are translated, but same thing for Fiorentina. Fiorentina have a distinct way of playing. Milan right now, they do not. Milan do not make sense. Milan fans are very angry with Pioli. Everybody seems to want him out. Although he's
Allegri, man, they're going to get their marching orders, even despite finishing top four, which I find interesting to say the least.
Both of them have still one more year on their contract.
Correct.
So also, be interesting because both of them have egos the size of an elephant, and it's not going to be easy getting them out. So when you're looking at this Milan encounter, to me, what jumps at me immediately is, you cannot, and you've mentioned the name of that stadium so many times in recent weeks, the San Siro, because of that being, ironically, Jose Mourinho's last game. And obviously, he was in the stands for that game when we lost to Stefano Pioli's Milan. That you cannot let San Siro affect you. You have to be able to contain exactly this individual quality that Milan will rely upon going into this game, in order to then be able to stun them at the Olimpico, where you dictate the rules, where you are the one who sets the tempo, where you are the one who has the style of play that is needed to win the game. So that's, Roma cannot be caught sleeping, because Milan, despite being an absolute mess right now, they still have the capabilities to hurt you.
They absolutely do. And that is something that I have even praised Roma for in recent weeks, where even when you don't play well, you still manage to get a result. I can't get Milan, that match, that defeat they had to Monza, out of my head, because they were, it was so bad that it is difficult for me to even believe that this team is, I mean, by all accounts, well, not by all accounts. I mean, if we just want to take facts, if we want to look at the concrete data, this is the second best team in Serie A. I would say probably that is more an indictment on Serie A this season. However, the table says this is the second best team in Serie A. And I watched them, and as you mentioned, as far as identity goes, I cannot, for the life of me, understand what sort of team this Milan is. You know what it actually reminds me of? Are the final days of the era of Rudy Garcia, when it was basically hoof the ball forward to Gervinho and pray he can take somebody on one-on-one, pull out a defender, and maybe he will even score a goal.
It'll replace Gervinho with Rafael Leao and Christian Pulisic.
Yeah, I mean, that is the sense I get, where, it, as you said, this is purely, this is not about tactical brilliance. This is not about teamwork. This is not about having a cohesive unit, being able to exploit an opponent. This is very good, skilled individuals, as you said, overcoming the very clear deficiencies of their manager. And this is the thing where I come out on it, because when we had the draw, I mean, you and I both said either Atalanta, West Ham, but whatever, it didn't happen. But something does have to be said. Yes, listen, Milan wiped the floor with Roma both times this season.
Embarrassed.
We have to accept that. Yes, I mean, both meetings. Because the first game is...
We were absolutely crushed from a physical standpoint.
Dismantled. In fact, even
Chris Smalling,
as we all remember,
Chris Smalling didn't recover after that game. I mean, that was so bad of a display, just overall. And then
that was the thing that nearly killed the guy. And I do find it a bit humorous in the fact that, as we remember, prior to that match, there was a certain unveiling of a certain player that, I mean, looked like, you know, something that would have come out of Hollywood. Didn't quite eclipse the welcome that Paolo Dybala got, but my goodness, that was prior to the match, and that party ended very quickly. We have to accept that. I mean, listen, I understand De Rossi is here now. I understand that Jose Mourinho is no longer here. I understand that Roma play nothing even remotely resembling the way they did under Jose Mourinho. But we can't discount that because forget the tactical stuff. There is a mental component to that coming into it. Regardless, from Milan's standpoint, as to who the opponent is, whoever is on the bench, we already know coming into this. We have not only have we defeated you twice, we've dismantled you twice. Roma were in neither of those matches. Let's remember, the first one was what, 2-1? Roma were never in that match because I believe the goal of Roma came late, as it did at San Siro. Okay, Roma were at no point in either of these matches against Milan this season.
Never.
Never, never. It was one-way traffic, and that's it. Roma, they were not there. They did not exist in either game. Now, of course, there is something to be said that, yes, we have a new manager, and they don't know. They haven't faced us playing in this manner, in this new way, and obviously our confidence is going to be different than it was prior. But I still can't discount that massive... I can't underscore this enough. I mean, just coming into this, no matter how shit Milan is playing, no matter how crap Stefano Pioli, his tactics have been this season, they come into this. The second they step on the pitch, they know we have dominated them twice this season. And the second time, in fact, we dominated them so much that they had to get a new manager. So no matter what tactical faults Milan may have, I having that massive, massive mental advantage on your side coming into this one, I think it is a big component that cannot be downplayed because we can't act as if those two matches didn't happen just because we have a new manager. They happened, and there was a significant gap.
Dude, it's like we're gonna face Lazio soon. Lazio. We haven't scored against Lazio.
We want to talk about what that match will look like. Oh my gosh.
I think it was yesterday that Roma celebrated Tammy Abraham's opening goal in the first minute of that derby. That was the last time that we scored against Lazio. That was 2 years ago. And yet, Lazio found a way to get rid of Sarri. Sarri resigns as Lazio manager. So we are going to face Lazio with a different coach, but Lazio will also have, just like Milan, the notion that, hey, we're the team that you cannot beat, that you haven't beaten. We are the team that we treat like some kind of Salernitana, because that's how we've been treated by Milan and Lazio over the last couple of years. So this draw, in my opinion, is not ideal. This is not the kind of draw I would have wanted. I said it even in the episode. I said, just don't give me Milan because they piss me off. And they do. They do because Stefano is the sight of Stefano Pioli, a manager who should aspire at the most to coach the likes of Catania. so obviously not there anymore. Should not be on that stage. I just wish for Roma to understand what the assignment is. You cannot treat this game like Brighton. You cannot treat this game like Feyenoord. You have to treat this game with the same kind of individual passion and drive that the Milan players have shown in both those matches. In the third match of the Serie A calendar this season, and Jose Mourinho's last game as Roma manager in charge, where the Milan players were on a mission. They were mad. They were mad at Pioli. They were mad at the fact that this guy cannot set them up right, and yet they still win despite of that.
That is the thing that, for me, that is one way or another, we're going to see what sort of growth Roma has made. I as you just said, I can't, and nor should anybody, no matter how bad Milan have been, Roma have not been able to do anything. And the thing I find most humorous is actually, do you remember the level of success Roma had prior to Stefano Pioli against Milan? I mean, I still vividly remember that match where they won at San Siro. I think it was 3-1, where Gigio Donnarumma, I think he had two very bad mistakes. I believe that was a season of Paolo Fonseca. I may be wrong. Do you remember which one I'm talking about, where Gigio Donnarumma, He was playing the ball out from the back twice, and he made two of the worst mistakes that I think I've
that
ever seen.
That could have been under Fonseca. Yeah, that could have been under.
Yeah, I think that was Fonseca, which...
With Javier Pastor. Was Javier Pastor involved?
Listen, there is one match with Javier Pastor that, and you know exactly which one I am talking about, that remains vivid in my mind that I am only to remember without wanting to stab my eyes out.
And the last
that was against a team that drew Liverpool. So
the Bergamo back heel.
Well, that I do think he sold his soul for that goal at Roma, because that was a signal that again how we have the years of BC and the AD for him. It was before the heel and after.
Absolutely.
It is interesting because the gamesmanship, so to speak, coming into this, just the mental component of this one for me is so much higher than the tactical, than I would say even two. Both sides are going to have minor injuries. I just think this mental component, no matter how crap you have been in a season, to face an opponent that you know you have dominated twice already in the same season, that is, no matter how low you are, no matter how far your self-esteem has sunk, there is no better medicine, yeah, than, you know, it's kind of like your ex-partner coming back to you, you know, saying, oh, well, I thought I could do better. And then, you know, they come back crawling to you and you say, here we go again, you know, welcome back. I might be projecting.
I think one day we will have to get into the fact why I reference so many movies and why do you make so many allegories to between football and breaking up or getting back together.
I guess this is sort of where I come out to that you know, no matter how low the situation may be, no matter how bad you may be feeling, there is always that one instance
or
that one character that you meet that no matter how low you feel, you are able to, you know, bring yourself up. Absolutely. And that is what I fear most.
Absolutely.
Now, I would not even be saying this had it been, you know, Milan pulling out the victory in both matches at the very last minute. I mean,
no, you're going
to
go.
I don't want to revisit both of these matches, but Andy, I remember that episode June that I did after these. The Roma were never under any. At any point in either of these matches, did they put Milan under pressure, under threat? This was a match in both instances, home and away, where there was only one team on the pitch. So, yes, Daniele De Rossi is the manager, but I still feel as if those two victories hold a much greater weight in mental strength and sort of having that extra... like an extra life, so to speak, an extra elixir in the pocket. Then, you know, we have a new manager and we play completely different tactically.
I agree.
We're not going to do a prediction. Yeah. I mean, we just went on for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
We just went on for 50 minutes as to why they can't do it. They can do it.
No,
Milan has showed.
I never said they can't.
No, but I know. But
I never ranted against the. I agree with you that it can hold some, so it can loom over this team, or maybe it can be a great liberation for Roma to just feel like, hey, we've changed, and here's what you can expect from us, and go up and do it. I just don't think that there are any expectations set for the Europa League at this moment in time. I think the focus will remain until the very end of the season, the Champions League, because right now you're fifth, you're behind Bologna, you're ahead of Atalanta, still they have one game to play against Fiorentina,
yes.
But that is where the focus will be. The Europa League right now is just going to be a bonus, and including this Milan draw where anything can happen between the two teams.
Yeah, absolutely. We will have to see. Obviously, we will talk more of it as we get closer to the date. We will leave it there. Again, we will be back after the weekend once the international break draws to a close and we prepare for Roma to begin this final stretch of the season. So until next time, ciao.